you will grow if you take action. You can do all the planning in the world, but if you're not actually taking action on those plans, then it's not going to get you anywhere.
Welcome to Exercise Biz with me, Aaron King, a podcast for exercise physiologists and health professionals wanting to grow and scale in business.
New year, new me, as they say. So we're kicking off the year, planning for a year of big growth, and we're focusing on the big steps for the next 12 months. So what progress do you want to make over the next 12 months? So here we're discussing some steps to hopefully get you on your way. The first thing is understanding that failure is normal, but not learning and adapting from those mistakes isn't normal and isn't going to get you anywhere. The important thing to realize is that when you're growing, there will be some failures along the way. Hopefully they're not too large, and hopefully you can mitigate many of those failures, and you can. But when you're growing, you will make some failures, some small, hopefully all small, hopefully not too many large, but it is bound to happen depending upon the circumstance, whether it be connecting with the wrong people, setting the wrong targets, networking with the wrong people, significant financial mistakes, but they are not fatal, just remembering that. Because when you're growing, there are some challenges that will come up. And the important thing to realize is across all types of business, many of the challenges are the same, just the method of delivery, method of operation, and also what you're selling or what your service is might change, but the challenges are the same across all our business types. So when you're growing, not getting thrown off by failure and realizing that it's normal. So that's probably the first thing, is knowing that not everything is going to work perfectly, just like it doesn't in life, but understanding that is very normal and ensuring that your mistakes aren't fatal. One major way to mitigate many of those mistakes or failures is learning off others' mistakes. So trial and error is a really expensive way to learn. So if you can mitigate many of those by learning off others and listening to others that have been there and done that and understanding why they say that, ask questions if you're not sure, but ensuring that you take immediate action, because you will grow if you take action. You can do all the planning in the world, but if you're not actually taking action on those plans, then it's not going to get you anywhere. We try not to be a perfectionist, because I don't think perfection in the early stages of business is going to get you places. It's better to get it started, get it done, and edit it and modify it along the way. Nothing that is big and major. You look at the largest companies in the world, they are more productive, they're more polished, they're more professional now. Even some of the two of the biggest, Apple and Amazon, they just started off quite small. A lot of things broke, even with Apple. Every time they release a new operating system, it doesn't always work, and then they're always adding on and changing. Same with Meta or Facebook or whatever it's called now. They started off with different approaches. Some things broke, then they modified. And even though they're large corporations and they seem so far beyond what we're doing in small business, the processes is the same. It's just the scale of challenges might be different or what the challenges are, but they've still got challenges that they're learning from. And that's what we want to do. We want to mitigate those failures by learning from others' mistakes, because trial and error is an expensive way to learn. The next thing that you want to do in planning for a year of big growth is reflect and review weekly. So make sure that at the end of the week or whatever day you prefer, some people prefer to do it on a Sunday evening, some people on a Friday, some people on a Monday just as they start. At the end of the day, I don't think it really matters when you do your weekly reflections and review it. It's whatever works best for you. Now, some people are going to say, oh, look, you need to do it Sunday before you start or Monday. But you know what? People have things to do. People have kids, families, other commitments. So do it when it works best for you. In the same way as all exercise physiologists should be saying, the best time to exercise is when you will actually do it, not a specific time of day that's not achievable for certain clients. The best time that you will do something is when you're most likely to do something. So make sure that you put in your diary, even if it's a half an hour a week, to reflect on your week and think, well, what are the top three things that worked really well for me? What are the top three things that worked not so well? Why didn't they work well? And what steps do I need to implement to then make it better so that it does improve? Because most of us in business are optimists, not Optimus, as in Optimus Prime. We are optimists. So we think, oh, things are going to be quick, things are going to be easy, but things will take longer than expected, and they'll probably cost twice as much, and that's just how it tends to work in business. And if you're anything like me, you try to do too much at once, and you'll be spinning your wheels and try to focus on too many shiny things, and it won't always work, and then you need to sometimes strip it back. And we'll discuss that in a moment. But understanding that things will take longer than expected in most cases if you are an optimist, but if you just focus on the process, then you'll look back in, say, a week and think, oh, I didn't do as much as I wanted to for this week, because every half an hour you've got your diary full of a different task, and clearly a half an hour task is actually meant to take a whole day, but you just mentally put it down for half an hour if you're anything like me. But then when you look back on your month or on your year, big things will have happened because you'll just focus on the process and focus on reflecting, reviewing. So do that weekly, but also do a larger overview and review and reflect monthly. So make sure you break it down into smaller steps to do it weekly, but then also do it monthly. My process and my preferred method of operation is start with the end goal in mind and work backwards. So what do we want the year to look like? What finances do we need to generate to be able to do the things that we want to do? Now, if we're in business, finances are important. So even if you're a charity, you need to earn money to be able to help those people in need of charity. So many of us don't start with the idea of finance first, but it is important because it just allows you to work with the people that you want to or are able to. You might even be able to do some pro bono work if you're earning enough to cover your own expenses. You need to earn money to be able to do the things that you need to do and help the people that you want to help. So money and cash is not a dirty word. It's important and necessary in business. Otherwise, you go bankrupt if you don't include that. So start with the end goal in mind and then work backwards from there. So I'm going to get the calculator out. So say, as an example, you starting out and you go, look, I probably need to earn $200,000 because I'd like to pay myself $80,000 plus super plus all of that. So it might be $100,000. And then I've got some overheads and I want to have some in the bank to be able to grow as well. It sounds like a lot if you're starting out, but it's probably not that much. It's not that much if you have some overheads, especially if you have another staff member, that adds up really quickly and it will need to be higher than that. But just for my maths, hopefully I'm going to start with a more simple number, say $200,000. And you go, look, what do I need to earn per week? Say I'm seeing clients at $100 a client for an hour, as an example, $200,000 I need at the end of the year. And that is divided by 100. So obviously it's 2,000 clients over the course of a year. So 2,000 clients I need to see. And then say we're going to go 2,000 clients divided by 48, because you might want a few weeks off. And you need to see 40 clients a week, or you might need to do 40 sessions. So 40 sessions, that's 40 hours if you're doing all hour sessions. Then if you're doing half an hour sessions, you might need to make up that dollar value per client somewhere else. So you might only see them and there might be $80 sessions. But you go, look, I really need them to average of 100 sessions because I physically don't have enough hours in the day to see 40 clients. What other things do I have to be able to support them? Maybe you're providing some equipment, maybe you're providing some extra services, some things online and offline that aren't taking your time, but are still providing value to the client. So you start with the end goal in mind. Go look, how many clients do I need to see, or what money do I want to make? Do I need to make to achieve the targets that I need to? Then work backwards and go, what does that work out to be? How many clients per year? Then how many clients per week? Okay, that's what I need to achieve. And then when you're doing your maths, you need to look at what is my average dollar sale per client and how many sessions per week. These are the two things that I look at quite regularly to be able to take the actions that I need to take. Say, for example, that example that I was using before, say we're at $400, but then I do the maths and I go, look, the average dollar sale has only been $90, not $100. Therefore, I might need to see more clients. Well, I don't have enough hours in the day if I'm seeing them one-on-one. Maybe I can see them in groups. Maybe I can see them in other ways to be able to see 40 clients per week. And that's totally up to yourself, depending upon how your business works. But it's a good way to track it, because you're saying, what's the average dollar sale per client per session? and how many sessions am I doing per week? And that's probably the main metric that I use to assess weekly how we are tracking and whether we're on target. And I don't just have the end goal is say, look, if your $200,000 was a target, okay, I need to see 40 clients a week. So say at the moment you're starting out, you're only seeing 10 because you're brand new. Okay, 10, then what's going to happen when I get to 20? What do I need to do to get to 20? What do I need to do to get to 30? What other things do I need to have in place once I get to 10, 20, 30? And then what happens when I get to 40? Will I be okay? Will I be happy? Or do I have larger goals beyond that? Because you might need more administration support when you get to 20 or 30. You might need to have other people involved, other systems involved, and the costs get a little bit higher as well. So your overheads do go up as your clients go up, as your work goes up, as it gets more of a rounded business. The next thing on the list is schedule the work when you do your best work. Now, I'm not all that great in the evening, but I'm better in the morning. Now, many others say, oh, you need to get up at 5, journal and all this other bullshit, but I ain't got time for that. The only reason I started waking up so early is because of kids and coffee, and I've gotten used to it, and I tend to do my best work in the morning, typically before the kids get up and before the business day for most people get going, so that I can just focus on it and I know, okay, the phone's not going to ring. I'm probably not going to get too many emails that are urgent and important, because to be honest, if someone's sending you an email, it's not really urgent and important to address right there. They'd probably call you or text you. So the best time for you to do your work and your best work is when you do it. Because if you're better in the evening and you're a bit more of a night owl and you prefer to sleep in, you're sleeping in, but you're staying up late. So the functioning time is probably the same for each person. So you do the most important work when you're best to do it. So put that in your plans accordingly. And some people have kids, some people don't. Some people have different commitments. So you work it in when it's best and when you're less likely to be bothered. And then once you're reaching those targets, you obviously need to take actions once those targets are reached, because you can't do a thing without the finances, even if that's not the ultimate goal, like I said before. So the main things that I want you to focus on for planning for big growth: what progress do you want to make? Understanding that failure is not fatal, but it can happen, and don't let it throw you off. Learn from those that have done it before, because trial and error is an expensive way to learn. Reflect and review weekly and monthly with your top three things that worked well, not so well, and top three actions that you need to implement for the following week. Review that weekly and then do an additional overview monthly. And you can even add that in quarterly, which I would recommend, especially as your business gets a little bit larger, and then yearly again. So weekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly. Bring that, we always tend to be optimists if we look inside ourselves and do business for long enough, because I don't think you would start a business and stick with it if you're not a positive person and think that you can do it, because business is hard, it's a roller coaster, and to be able to stick it out, you tend to have to be a positive person and someone that is confident in themselves, not confident all the time, but confident in what you're doing and what you're trying to do, and confident in the process. Start with the end goal in mind and work backwards. So what do you want it to look like? What's the end goal financially or physically? What's your dollar sale? So how many clients do I need to see per week, per month, per year? And what are the sub-targets under that I need to achieve? And when I achieve those mini targets reaching to the larger goal, what are the extra things that I need to implement to support it, whether it be extra admin support, extra people, extra systems, or nothing, depending upon your business operation and how you're working. You might be able to do it all yourself, or you might need to restructure your business because you realize that 40 clients in a week at an hour, well, maybe that's too much. So maybe I need to see some in groups. Maybe some people need to be seen multiple times in a group. It could be anything. Schedule the work when you do your best work. I'm not one for it has to be done in the morning, but for me it is. But for others, it doesn't need to be. And I ask questions of my guests, but I'm going to tackle some of the most common ones that I get asked in this instead of asking other people. So what's the quickest way to get more done? So basically, what's your productivity hack? I don't believe in hacks. The process is the important thing. With the advent of social media, people are always looking for the secret, for something quicker, the silver bullet. There are none. Stick to the process longer. Adapt quickly. So the productivity hack is adapt quickly. Realize what's not working quickly. And that's why you probably need to review things weekly. Realize what's not working and adapt and change it. And that's where a small business has an advantage over a larger organization, that has a lot of red tape. And COVID has shown this. A lot of the small businesses adapted, went online, focused on online ordering, focused on providing a different level of service that still fit their model, but was able to adapt. Larger organizations just went, oh, we'll shut, or they did deals with the government to be able to stay open or things like that, or whatever may have happened. But they weren't as able to adapt quickly, where small business can adapt really quickly because it doesn't have to go through 10 steps and 10 tick boxes. It's just the owner, the operator might be the same person, just saying, yes, let's do this, do it now, and you can implement it straight away. So adapt, pivot quickly, and you will need to stick to the process longer than you think to get things done. But over the short term, it'll take longer. But over long term, you'll look back and you'll make some big progress. So over a decade, you'll probably achieve a lot more than what you expected, but over 6 months and 12 months, probably not. So what failures have I made? I always ask this question of others because I 100% guarantee everybody's made failures along the way of a successful business. And it's the challenges that allow you to grow and allow you to learn and allow you to implement the right things and adapt to the market along the way. The biggest things for me are probably focusing on too many things and too many shiny balls and not saying enough no to enough things, especially early on, because we're trying to be everything to everyone. But then you realize that some things don't work, many things don't work, you're not physically and mentally invested in that. And it's really not something that supports what you're trying to do as a business, as a culture, as a niche, however you've set your business up. And we said yes to everything, or I said yes to everything in the beginning, but there were probably some things that I should have said no to. And I'm saying it's still to this day really hard to say no to a bunch of things when there's opportunities, because you always see the positive side and you think, oh, that's an opportunity and it might fit. And then sometimes it's just about saying no, even though it hurts to say no, and probably just spending money and time where it wasn't growth focused in the early phases, because cash flow is king. It doesn't matter your turnover or your equity or how large the business is, what it's worth. If you don't have cash in the bank, you can't pay the bills. And if you're always seeing types of clients that are on a month invoice terms, then it doesn't help you in those early phases because you don't have enough cash in the bank to support those monthly invoice terms. So it might only be 3 days, or it might just be cash on the spot or cash in advance. And when I say cash, could be card, could be whatever, but cash is in the bank is going to be the important thing in the early phase. Many businesses go bankrupt because while they are earning a lot of money, it's not getting into their bank fast enough before the bills need to be paid, so that they're operating at a loss and they're not getting it in quick enough. Even if their turnover is high, they've basically just got too many things they've committed to and it doesn't work out in their favor and they end up going bankrupt. And that's even some of the larger businesses, but it's even more relevant for small businesses. That's the thing that is going to keep a business operating early is cash flow. So focus on cash flow rather than total cash, because you can have a smaller business with less overheads, but it actually means in the early phases that you have better profit and better cash flow than what the business looks on the outside. You might have a super large facility, a super large operation. Many business owners are the lowest paid in the organization, at least to start off with and for the first couple of years. Well, if you can start off a little bit higher than that and a little bit better and learn from others and go cash flow is king instead of what the business looks like from the outside, then you're probably going to have a better operation in the long run. And then you can grow from there. But early on, cash flow is king. If you have any questions, if you want to contact me, shoot me a message, comment on our Instagram, subscribe, look up my details on the podcast, shoot me a message, and let's chat.